You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. John Bush here with the Live Free Now show, Live Free Now podcast. Check us out at livefreenow.show. We're also broadcasting live on the Conscious Resistance Network. And today I want to chat with you about division and divide and conquer tactics, specifically in the context of the COVID pandemic, the COVID era, and the BLM anti-police brutality movement that is taking place all across the country. It seems that in an already growingly divided and really contentious climate, things couldn't get any worse, but they have, and it appears they're only going to get more worse. I want to talk about how people being divided and pitted against one another plays into the hands of the enemies of liberty, people that are in power. And I want to encourage people to have compassion for our fellow human beings. And like the good book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People says, one of the highly effective habits is to seek first to understand, then to be understood. I feel like so many people are not willing to see things from someone else's perspective and are content to just turn against their fellow human beings. So, it's bad news bears. I also want to talk about how it appears more and more increasingly people are set in their ways so much that discourse and back and forth communication where one party listens and is receptive to what another party has to say, and then they exchange ideas. And when one person's views are challenged, they think about it with an open mind. That seems to just completely have gone away and disappeared. And now everyone is so set in their ways that they're not willing to understand other points of view. They're not willing to look other ways. And I think that a lot of this is just in people's human nature. But I think this human nature is being exploited in large part because everyone is so afraid and so scared, rather than, you know, having an open heart and embracing one another and understanding that we're all in the struggle together. We're all on this earth together. We're all humans after all. People are like backing into a corner, and like there's this factionalism that's taking place. So we want to break all that down and offer some kind words on some alternatives. I'm also going to be taking your comments. See, Emilio Cronus is there, my friend, and we're going to have a conversation. So one of the big things that's been going on is the BLM protests and this big protest movement that has spiked in response to the murder of George Floyd. And here we have one group of people that were already fed up with police brutality, that were already fed up with African Americans being targeted, marginalized communities being targeted. And then this murder took place, filmed on video, of a man being choked with a cop putting his knee on his neck. If you haven't watched the video yet, I'm sure most people have. It's pretty difficult to watch and just sit there and watch someone die. And so this group emerged and got out in the streets and protest. There already was Black Lives Matter organizations and a movement that sprung up after, Georgia? What city was it? Way back in the day. And then all this other police brutality stuff that pops up. This movement was already there, right? And then you have another group of people. So this all springs up. And then you have a people that react and that say, oh no, this is George Soros. This isn't genuine. All lives matter. There's a disparity. More African Americans are involved in crime, and that's why there's more police brutality with African Americans. So everyone is just so into a camp, right? That, and everyone just so desperately wants to apply their worldview onto all the circumstances. And just to break something down, like, I've been a police accountability activist for quite some time. I guess I've been kind of dormant, haven't focused a lot on police accountability, but several years ago, I helped to found the Peaceful Streets Project. We put on Know Your Rights trainings. We invited Bobby Seale, the co-founder of the Black Panther Party, this guy Radley Balco, big writer on police accountability issues. And we had this great big conference. We gave out video cameras to folks in low-income neighborhoods so they could film the police. Before that, I was a big thorn in Art Acevedo's side at APD. So I've always been aware and I've been conscious of the fact that there is a disparity and that African-Americans and folks in low-income neighborhoods are targeted, right? I've also been aware that the very genesis of municipal police departments is rooted in racism. The municipal police departments came about in order to keep the newly freed slaves in check, right? That's the actual root. And I do believe that there is systemic racism in many of these police departments. Even in the city of Austin, where I live, they were exposed for all sorts of stuff, using the N-word and within the ranks of the police department, not just talking about suspects and civilians, even though cops are civilians too, but within the ranks, using the N-word against one another. So that's there, that's happening. And then this movement gets wings underneath it again, momentum underneath it again. And there's a party, a group of people that are just quick to say, well, that's all George Soros. That's all communism. That's all Antifa. And I want to point out that the entire movement as a whole isn't anti-fascist activists that are willing to engage in violence in order to silence what they see as fascism. The movement as a whole isn't all Marxists, communists, right? Even though the entity Black Lives Matter and the founders of that organization have Marxist tendencies and have publicly announced that they have a Marxist plan, right? But there's more than just an organization that's getting involved here. There's people that I've known for over a decade that are involved in the Austin movement, right? And they're not Marxist or communist, but everyone's quick to just pull into their parties, right? And then at the same time, someone that's saying all lives matter maybe is confused or maybe feels with the whole white privilege thing, which I'm not going to get into. That could be a whole nother video. I don't like the whole concept of white privilege. I don't think it's a privilege to not be oppressed, right? I would say that there are certain groups that may have advantages over other groups because of disparities and all sorts of stuff that's taking place. But everyone's quick to say, oh, you don't support us. Well, then maybe you're part of a white nationalist movement. Or there was this dichotomy between the Antifa extremists on the left and the Boogaloo movement on the right and the militia types. And these guys are all white nationalists when nothing could be further from the truth. So there's such a tendency towards groupthink. So I want to encourage people to first try to see the humanity in one another before you start throwing labels, communist, Antifa, racist, white nationalist, right? And seek to understand before being understood. And one of the big things when it comes to racism and African-Americans, for example, is it wasn't that long ago in the history of this country, 50, 60 years, that African-Americans didn't even have a right to vote and participate in the government. The civil rights marches weren't that long ago. Desegregation in schools wasn't that long ago. All the pictures that you see and the videos that you see of the sit-ins where folks, the white people in the neighborhood, the racists would go pour milk and stuff on the heads of the black folk that were sitting in trying to do a peaceful protest. That wasn't that long ago. It was only a couple generations. And then you just go several generations back, and it wasn't that long ago in the nation's history where black people were literally owned by other folks. So there's a reason why when people see a black person's neck, a knee on the neck of a black person, they get outraged, right? And so I would encourage people before you just go saying, well, that's George Soros. There can't possibly be any authentic movement that was created here. You think about, put yourself in someone else's shoes and think about what's going on, because this whole divide and conquer thing is definitely at play here. And there's a lot of folks that follow Q and they know, they think that the deep state is behind every single thing and every single activist is being paid or funded by George Soros, and every single person that attends a Black Lives Matter rally, a police brutality rally is somehow anti-fascist or whatever. But that's just not the case. And now we see a big problem taking place. Because everyone is so divided, we now have a large group of people that I coalesce with, that I've done activism, been an activist since 2002, and my activism started with 9/11 truth activism, so I was really quick when the Department of Homeland Security was founded just a few years later to know that this is just one more step towards the centralization of power with a more authoritarian government. And I did a lot of activism and research with the mother of my kiddos, Catherine Bleich. We went around the country visiting fusion centers, which are these Department of Homeland Security institutions that merge the local, state, and federal law enforcement information gathering and intelligence sharing practices. And these buildings, there's like nine of them in the state of Texas, all across the country. And they put out these reports and they surveil people and they do social media analysis. And it's kind of like Minority Report, where they do this pre-crime analysis and see where trends are taking place, so on and so forth. But a lot of their activity wasn't just geared on crime or preventing terrorism. It was focused on activism. And early on, the big focus was right-wing extremism. And there was a lot of activity and reports that were put out during the Obama administration focused on the right wingers, right wing extremism. Let me show just a quick video here, or a little. Here's one of them. This was a big one that everyone noticed and that people took notice of. This was from 2009. Right wing extremism, current economic and political climate fueling resurgence in radicalization and recruitment. And so there's a bunch of people that I would do activism with that were well aware that the Department of Homeland Security is essentially this Gestapo police state apparatus that is furthering the authoritarianism, the centralization of power, in bed, an instrument, a tool of the deep state, or as we used to call it, the shadow government. And they were opposed to it and wanted to see it dismantled, disbanded, defunded, eliminated as a federal institution. And of course, we were all opposed to the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA pat downs, and we protested and rallied, and that's underneath the Department of Homeland Security. But now these very people that were so concerned with the growing power of the federal government, this very group is now in support of this and seems to have no problem whatsoever with Department of Homeland Security agents being sent out to cities, doing snatch and grabs, putting people in unmarked vans. The police aren't identified what organization they're a part of. There's no badge numbers. They're not merely targeting people that are throwing bricks through windows or lighting fires at federal buildings, nor are they merely protecting federal buildings. They are going out and about in the city and policing the local citizenry and the local protesters. Now, you know, I'm not a one-sided kind of guy. I will note that there is rioting going on. There are buildings that are being burnt down. There are attacks on federal buildings, right? But what I want to point out is this group of people that used to be just 5, 10, 15 years ago, wholeheartedly opposed to the use of Department of Homeland Security agents, federal agents, to the fusion centers, to all of this power being consolidated with the federal government, with the office of the presidency and the executive. They were opposed to that. But whenever their political enemies or their political counterparts, what they see as communists or Antifa, is being targeted by this very institution, all of a sudden they are in support of it. And I just want to point out that this is how the divide and conquer tactic works here. There's people that aren't resting on their principles. I myself try to just stick to the principles through and through, no matter if it's a Republican or Democrat in office, no matter if it's a right-wing militia type or a left-wing Marxist BLM activist that's out protesting. No matter what, I don't think it's a good idea for federal paramilitary forces to be sent to local communities to police the citizenry through snatch and grabs, right? But people have abandoned their principles and become caught in a reactionary paradigm whereby their preferences, their position, their strategy, their desires aren't necessarily determined by their own course or their own destiny. Rather, what they support, what they favor is determined in reaction to what's taking place. And so this very same group of people, the Q folks, Trump supporters, a lot of right wingers, a lot of libertarians included, they rightly point out that there's divide and conquer going on, that there's an agenda at play, right? And I even think that there is a communist agenda at play. The communist agenda has been at play for quite some time. They just switched over to like a Fabian socialism, gradualism, rather than in your face form of violence and coercion, right? And they've been rather successful. The United States government has several planks of the Communist Manifesto, the graduated income tax, the central bank properties increasingly being taken away, right? But that dividing, they're missing the point that the Trump movement and this angst amongst people that are genuinely conservative is the other part at play. So you have the left wing communist radical folks that are in Congress now and BLM and Marxism. And then you have this right wing that is now becoming increasingly fascist and supporting fascist like tactics. The snatch and grab tactic and putting people and whisking them away in unmarked cars is both a communist tactic, sending people to the gulags, and a fascist tactic, sending political dissidents to the concentration camp, you see? And because people aren't capable of taking a step back and examining things from a place of principles, from not a place of reaction, we see that the left is becoming increasingly violent and extreme, and the right is becoming increasingly violent and extreme, and both of these extremes are becoming more accepting of extreme tactics like snatch and grab, like burning cities down, right? Early on, I was aware of this left-right, this false left-right paradigm, this false left-right divide. But it used to be the Democrats and Republicans, and they were butting heads in a political arena. But more and more, increasingly, it's the extreme. So you have the moderate left and right here participating in the political channels. Then you have the extreme left and right in the form of Antifa, Marxists, radicals, right? And then you have the extreme right in the form of Boogaloo, militia movement types. And these extremes aren't just engaging in rhetoric anymore. There is action taking place. And if you can pull back and see things, this is what's happened all throughout history. The communists grow in power and the nationalists don't like it. So the nationalists seek to take out the communists. The communists seek to take out the nationalists. And meanwhile, we anarchists are like, oh man, what do we do? Maybe we should let them fight one another and pull back a little bit. But it's not good. And so I want to encourage people, before you just buy up into all these camps of left and right and all these factions, try to just come from a place of humanity first. Try to understand the other party. Try to understand the position that's taking place. Not everyone. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it seems like there is a large group like the Trump faction and the nationalists and the semi-fascists and the actual fascists. Now we have this whole, you know, like the Charlottesville rally that took place, Unite the Right, this alt-right phenomenon. That's genuine fascism. It does appear that they do want to take over the entire country and to put forward their vision for America, like a white America. And it does appear that there are people in the left faction that want to exploit this George Floyd movement, this protest movement, in order to sow discord, destruction, division, chaos, so it makes it easier to roll in the communist agenda. So I don't know, man. The one solution that I always like to propose is what we call freedom cells. It's small mutual aid groups of around 8 to 10 people, 12 people, a small group that can stay in contact with one another, that can stay in support and mutual aid, that can act effectively and creatively, form this small group of people to support the other members in the small group, then encourage the creation of other small groups, and they unite. And we try to just break off and do our own thing and protect one another. We ought not to buy into this division, this program that's being put forward. It's up to us to step back from it and to understand that we're all human beings, right? We all suffer throughout life. We all seek to minimize suffering. We all seek to increase our joy and happiness, like our boy Buddha said back there, right? And I think that if we can try to get in touch with our compassionate side, then it makes it easier not to buy into this whole thing. But there's a problem, you see. People aren't willing to view things from a different perspective. Everyone already has their perspective in mind. And there's a story that comes to mind. There's a gentleman, a young man, that was killed here in Austin, Texas, a couple days ago. His name was Garrett something. And this guy was shot, Garrett Foster. He was a libertarian, actually. But just to point out how everyone just thinks that, oh, it's because he was at a Black Lives Matter protest, he was must have been Antifa. So you search the guy's name, Garrett Foster, and I searched with Antifa too, okay, just to point this out. What we know about the Austin BLM protesting, Foster is the armed BLM Antifa White Alley. Here's a YouTube video, interview with Austin Antifa Garrett Foster. But the problem is the dude was a libertarian. He had been a member of the Libertarian Party since 2017. He has had stuff on his Facebook page supporting JoJo Jorgensen, the Libertarian candidate. Well, this guy was carrying, open carrying an AK-47, and he was at the protest to try to protect the protesters' right to protest. Well, somebody drove in their car. Apparently, they like accelerated towards the protest. They were marching down what I believe was 6th Street, 6th Street in Congress, somewhere downtown in Austin. Huge group. This was like two nights ago. And, you know, one of the problems with all this division and extremism is people aren't able to take a step back and look at what's going on. So the fact that these protesters always swarm cars and bang on the cars, and when someone's just trying to drive through to go about their day and they're like, no, you need to turn around, that's not pleasant for the person that's in the car. And it's only natural that there would be some sort of response or reaction of fear and wanting to do something about it. That's why you see sometimes there's like an 18-wheeler that's stopped on the highway and everyone's like climbing on top of it and trying to bust into it, and then they floor it and maybe somebody gets hurt that's in front of it, right? It's a terrible tactic, but it just shows that everyone's like whipped up into this frenzy. So apparently there was a car that drove forward and accelerated and just come to a stop. They were either trying to get the heck out of there or trying to cause harm, and the protesters rush over to the car. One of them is a guy, Garrett Foster, who had his AK-47. And the driver apparently felt threatened by that and opened fire and killed this guy, Garrett Foster. So immediately, before all the circumstances have come to light, everyone is already right in their corner. Oh, well, the driver must have been a bad guy who wanted to kill people. He's probably racist, harmful, wanting to hurt the BLM protests. Oh, this guy, Garrett Foster, must have pointed his gun. He's an Antifa guy. He was probably looking for trouble, right? Even before all of the evidence comes to light. And there now there is a picture of Garrett Foster, and it appears that he's holding the firearm as he was holding in all these other pictures, where it's kind of pointed down. But nonetheless, approaching a car that's trying to escape, or a car that maybe accelerated with the firearm, the other person, whatever. It's a terrible mess. But it just illustrates that, and there's so many people saying these nasty things like play stupid games, win stupid prizes, and oh, well, he got what he deserved, rather than being like, wow, somebody died. This is a big freaking deal. This guy was shot. He was the sole caregiver for a quadriplegic, the woman, an African-American woman that he was his fiance. Apparently he was a really good guy, and everybody applauded how loving he was to this woman. But instead of being like, oh man, this is getting really bad, I wish things would de-escalate, and what can we do to change? I'm going to try to be extra loving and compassionate in my life. You have people celebrating the fact that somebody died. And I think that's absolutely disgusting and disheartening. So yeah, people aren't interested in looking from another perspective. So I want to encourage people to have compassion, like the Buddha taught us. We're all human beings. We're all suffering. We're all struggling. I'm going to go to some comments, and I'm going to talk about COVID because it's a lot about the same thing. Reciprocating ethics to a group of people who openly reject them and have hostility toward you is a slow form of suicide. I'm not sure if this guy, Mr. Gordon, is still around, but what you basically just you just did what's a fallacy called a generalization. Yes, there may be people within the BLM movement, within the protests, that don't seem to have ethics. We've seen lots of videos of just gangs roaming around and beating the crap out of business owners. We've seen videos of what I believe are likely Antifa types. They have the traditional garb, all black, the boots, younger, white, skinny type guys, right? And I'm making a generalization here as well, or a stereotype. But yeah, it's unethical, I think, to smash someone's building, smash someone's window, smash someone's car, smash someone's business. It's most definitely unethical for a group of 6 to 8 guys to go rove and beat someone nearly to death, right? But you just attributed that characteristic, that quality, those individual actions to an entire group of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. And I know people personally that I went to high school with who got out and protested. The same people that would give me a hard time and be like, dude, you're all extreme, you know, because I was all into 9/11 truth and freedom for the past 20 freaking years. And they'd be like, man, we're just trying to party and you're running your mouth about how we need to have a garden because the currency's going to collapse and stuff. And because they were so sickened by what happened to George Floyd, they went out and marched alongside the Black Lives Matter movement and the protesters. And I can assure you that this one individual that I'm thinking of is not an unethical person. In fact, he's one of the most ethical people that I know, more so than me and some of my other high school friends when we used to be young and drunk and just foolish youngsters, right? He was always the nice guy. So you see what you're doing there is you're taking away individuality and you're engaging in collectivist groupthink. And so regardless, even at the same day, back to our buddy, the Buddha talked about loving your enemies. Jesus Christ talked about this as well. And this guy, Jace, is just demonstrating the very thing that I'm talking about here. So I encourage you, Jace, to get out of the groupthink, the group mentality, to challenge your own beliefs, to see the humanity in people rather than just saying BLM equals Marxist, unethical, bad, other. BLM equals other. They're not me and my Trump people or my Q people. Therefore, they are bad. Not good. William Paul Parker points out, yeah, Ferguson was what I was talking about earlier. And that was Missouri, actually. That's where the BLM movement sprung out. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want to discount the fact that there are shadowy forces. There is a conspiracy. There does appear to be money coming from George Soros that has funded the Black Lives Matter movement. There does appear money. George Soros gave money to a nonprofit that then gave money to this Stop Fascism Now, some similar name. Organization, right, that does have a lot of Antifa roots and engages in Antifa tactics. That's all taking place, but that doesn't mean that every single person marching out against the police brutality, against the George Floyd stuff, is Antifa, is Soros funded, is communist, is unethical. Hard to oppose them when they are picking up fascists. I guess this guy's trying to make the point that Antifa is actually fascist and it's hard to oppose that. I think that we ought to oppose federal paramilitary forces being sent to cities, no matter who the target is. This is something that the local or state government should take care of. And if the local government isn't doing it, or if they're part of this agenda as well, then people need to get the hell out of that city because it seems like it's gone to hell in a handbasket. But the answer is never the central government coming through. Big difference. No Marxists in Congress. Plenty of nationalists there, though. They tried to brand Bernie as some kind of communist, which is absurd. Well, I would argue that if there are a lot of people in Congress that share Karl Marx's views on private property and taxation and supporting the working class and seeing the business owner and the capitalist as enemies, AOC comes to mind. So does Bernie Sanders, a democratic socialist. A lot of that stuff has roots in the Marxist philosophy. But see, there's Marxists and there's Trump nationalists that are in power. And it's all no bueno. Conscious resistance. This must be old Derek Bro saying many of them have a very black and white view on BLM in any group they don't agree with. Yeah. And it's unfortunate that everyone is so divided. And I want to encourage people to take a step back, to look at things differently, to not play into the divide and conquer tactics. there's all this false dichotomy stuff. Like I posted a lot of the stuff I'm talking about on my Facebook wall, and someone was like, "You want cities just to burn?" And it's like people are beginning to think either cities burn or we send in federal agents. There's other alternatives. And you know what? One of the big alternatives could be is perhaps governments could genuinely address the concerns of all these people that are protesting in the streets, right? And then I want to get into the rioting early on. I didn't want to take a position on the rioting early on. I mean, obviously, I'm a libertarian. I'm a private property guy. I oppose the destruction of other people's property. But at the same time, I first sought to understand before seeking to be understood. And rather than just going and running my mouth, I thought, wow, the question that we ought to be asking ourselves is why, how could things get so bad? What is it that has led young people in this country to go riot in the streets? What's taking place? What could it be? And when you ask those questions, you begin to think, if you're going to be honest with yourself, like, wow, things have been really bad. And let me just riff on that for a second. People, statistics show that African Americans often are targeted with more police brutality, more times being pulled over than other groups, right? Even though African Americans make up a smaller representation of the general public as a whole. People quickly reply to that, well, African Americans and minorities commit more crime. Okay? Statistics also show that as well. It also shows that more crime is committed in low-income neighborhoods. Let's break that down for a second. Okay, rather than first we seek to understand, then seek to be understood, why is that? Right? Some people would think that there's just this innate thing about Black people, that they are criminals, and that's just how they are. That's their culture. Well, that's not the truth at all. And in fact, when you get back down to African roots, it's actually a very beautiful culture that unfortunately has been largely marginalized all throughout history. And now Africa is being raped for her resources through the West, the Anglo-American establishment. But let's break it down for a sec, because when people say that stuff, I think, okay, well, I'm aware of the deep state shadow government shipping crack cocaine into California through Freeway Rick Ross and the Crips. When they were doing the Nicaragua Contra scandal, they were shipping in crack and cocaine. There's been CIA planes that have been downed, flying into the country full of cocaine. Okay. Also, shortly along that time, the Tavistock Institute, which is like this shadowy group that manipulates and social engineers through media and public influence, they were really priming up the whole gangster rap phenomenon, which is like all about bitches and hoes and big cars and gang banging and stealing and thieving, right? Also, throughout this time, in large part, due to this crack epidemic that was taking place and Joe Biden's crime bill, right? Black youth were losing their fathers because the fathers were caught in this paradigm where they would deal drugs, get involved in crime, so on and so forth. And a lot of it also had to do with limited opportunity because they were just a couple decades ago. I'm talking about the 80s and 90s when all this was taking place, but a couple decades ago, there was still segregation. There was still hardcore in-your-face racism, not shadow indirect racism, hardcore in-your-face racism. So an entire generations missed out on the opportunity that other races had to succeed in this country. Somebody put it recently, like Caucasian folk in this country from Europe that came voluntarily. You know, I'm not going to discount that there's Irish and all sorts of people with lighter color skin that have been slaves as well throughout history. Really, humans are so nasty to each other. But the European folk who came to this country voluntarily, seeking better opportunities, seeking religious freedom, they've had two centuries plus to establish themselves economically and financially. African Americans have had but 60 years to establish themselves. That means there's limited opportunity. And then when you have the CIA ship in crack cocaine and create this crack epidemic in the 80s and 90s in California and spreading all across urban areas throughout the country, there was a lot of African Americans that went after that opportunity to do the drug game, And a lot of those African-Americans got put in prison. Fast forward, you have a lot of younger African-Americans whose fathers and parents are locked up behind bars and they grow up without that father influence. And so also add the fact that, as we spoke of before, the municipal police departments are rooted in racism, and the institution in it of itself is inherently racist. And then you have the drug war, which targets the crack and the cocaine and the drugs that are just exacerbating the entire problem. And so when someone says, well, the reason why there's more black people being brutalized by police and killed by police is because black people commit more crime, that's, you don't just stop there. You say, well, what is that all about? And you see that there's an entire history of all sorts of problems in this country. And so, again, I'm going to go back to seek first to understand before you seek to be understood. And if you can think about things from a place of objectivity rather than trying to apply your worldview or what you believe to be the truth upon the circumstances, then you just might be surprised that there's more than meets the eye, right? All right, let's see what some other folks are saying. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Again, this is John Bush. I want to invite you to check out my podcast feed at libfreenow.show. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the Conscious Resistance Network. There's a lot of comments coming in, so I want to... All right, everybody's popping off now. This is great stuff. No more Freemasons. It's more than, you know, like there is an agenda and there is a conspiracy at play, but that... For everyone just to be like, oh, it's the Freemasons, oh, it's the conspiracy, that takes away the power that we have as human beings in order to shape reality, in order to shape the course of history. So to hell with the Freemasons, to hell with George Soros. These people aren't omnipotent. And when you prescribe omnipotence to them, then you take away your power. That's a problem I had with Alex Jones early on. He used to be an Alex Jones follower. In fact, he was who exposed me to 9/11, Road to Tyranny, and opened my eyes and brought me down this path. And I realized, like, wow, this guy's really just blowing up this New World Order thing and making it as though the New World Order is responsible for everything. Same thing with everyone these days. Like, oh, BLM, it's George Soros. He's so powerful. He's funding all these activists. Like, wow. And then people are like, where's my check? I was even accused of being funded by George Soros, me and Antonio Beeler, I guess, because we were just into police accountability. So, oh, here's old Gary Conisberg, Garco, the Garco Factor. How about helping people focus on what we have in common and on more noble traits of humanity? How can we do that? Or is it too late? Well, it's never too late. And you raise a great point, because we do have more in common than we do have apart. For example, we don't all have two arms, but two arms, two eyes, breathe. And one of the things I always go back to is we all, human beings, try to minimize suffering and maximize happiness. And that's really what it's all about. We just get caught up in this rat race, and there's so many evil, diabolical people out there that sometimes it's hard. And then when the people themselves, and I like to, you know, differentiate the ruling class, the puppeteers, the social engineers from the people, the masses, because a lot of these people are being hardcore manipulated. And what makes it really easy for these puppet string pullers and for you Q folks and for you Trump folks out there, you recognize this. But you're playing into the divide and conquer, which makes it easier for these people to control everyone when they hate one another, when they're all afraid all the time. But when you stand in your power and when you help your fellow human beings, like we see taking place in Portland. So here's a reaction that took place. Trump set in federal paramilitary DHS agents, woo, to the protesters and the rioters, right? Protesters and rioters. They're not all rioters. They're not all Marxists. They're not all Antifa. And they started doing snatch and grabs. Well, then a bunch of teachers showed up, a bunch of moms showed up, then a bunch of veterans showed up, right? Those veterans who swore to uphold the Constitution and protect it from enemies, foreign and domestic, many of them were probably conservatives. They showed up because they put their differences aside. They accept that maybe some of the goals of the Black Lives Matter organization are left-leaning, but they wanted to protect people's right to protest, which is really important to a lot of people. All right. Try to teach this audience, John. You know I'm trying hard, but you can only say so much. It's up to the listener to shake that, blah, 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 blah. Just shake it off. Everyone's been so programmed, myself included, everybody. And everyone's just backed on these sides so far to the extreme. They're not even willing to just take a step back and just examine things from up here rather than just deep inside your head. Nick Reed, what advice do you have for people who are scared? Well, for people that are scared, I would encourage people to take a step back and to breathe, to focus on the present moment when more often than not, things are doing great. And I would encourage people that there are strength in numbers. So form groups, mutual aid groups, freedomcells.org, be with your community. There's crazy stuff that's taking place, but it doesn't have to be crazy in our head and our mind and in our personal world, right? But because the crazy gets spread all around, I think that it's important for people to be prepared, not to be reactionary, not to go march against this or to go agitate against that, but to be prepared. Firearms ownership, food storage, linking up with your fellow community members in order to support one another. And for people that are scared, it's like all about what you focus on. So if you're focusing on the news and all the COVID stuff, I may not even talk about COVID actually, because this is seems to be going pretty well and we're getting pretty high on time now. Turn the news off. Go out in the garden, play with your kids at the playscape, have a good time, focus on that, be grateful for what you do have, don't focus on the fear. But at the end of the day, fear is an emotion that sends signals to us that something is not safe. And so don't dismiss that, rather, but don't let that take control of your entire psyche, and rather say, well, what is this fear telling me? Oh, I'm afraid that there's all these protests taking place and there's riots taking place and I live on the outskirts of Portland. Okay, maybe I need to do something about that. Maybe I should go somewhere. Maybe we should take that vacation. Maybe I should buy a firearm. Maybe I should not go downtown, so on and so forth. Many of them have a very black and white view on BLM. This is true. Omari Jamal says, the establishment always tries to infiltrate groups and use them to their own ends. That doesn't mean the entire movement has been co-opted. This is so very true. And this is something that a lot of people that are now totally supporting the Department of Homeland Security are aware of. In fact, the Department of Homeland Security sends people to infiltrate. They utilize the Fusion Center apparatus in order to do so. It's just a classic move. Remember early on in Minneapolis, everyone saw the AutoZone guy, like this big, strong white dude with like military style boots was smashing the windows of the AutoZone. People were like, hey, man, what are you doing? What are you doing? I think that's really obvious that that was some sort of agitator, whether he works for George Soros or the local police department or whatever, the FBI. And they just wanted to shift the focus away from justice and accountability and good people protesting on the streets to see now what's happening. It's rioting. Oh, it's a mess. I was happy to see libertarian marching along BLM protesters. Not everyone highlights the people coming together. Yes, people are coming together. Things are going good, and we should focus on the positive for sure. I'm not going to be mad at people focusing on the federal buildings better than small business and private homes. This is true, but at the end of the day, destruction isn't a good tactic. If we want to achieve our goals, we need to build up. We need to create. We need to criticize through creation, not by tearing things down and destroying. The institutions, if they're built on violence and coercion and lies and deceit, oftentimes they collapse of their own accord. All right. I want to thank everyone for checking me out. I'm going to do a little recap here and make sure the point has gotten through. What did somebody said something about Africa here? Again, the idea is that we ought to step out of our heads. We ought to focus on our humanity. We ought to focus on our brotherhood, what we have in common. We ought to seek to understand where other people are coming from. Let me just hit the COVID stuff too. The same phenomenon is taking place in the COVID world where everyone is just off to these extremes where, oh, the virus is going to kill us. People that don't want to wear masks are selfish, terrible, terrible people. I can't wait for the vaccine to come out. We need to lock down more, so on and so forth. And, oh, it's just taking away our freedom. And the people that wear masks are sheep. And COVID is a hoax. We don't need to be worried at all. So there's a place here in the middle where I wish we could all come to and jam and jive in that area. I want to encourage people also that name calling doesn't help anybody. So I know that there's people calling the people that wear masks sheep. And then there's people that are calling those that question the official narrative COVIDiots. Although some people that question the official narrative call the people that agree with the official narrative COVIDiots. So I don't know which term that group is supposed to be attributed to, but like, why you got to call names? If you're, I don't know what people's goal is to post on Facebook, but when I post, I'm trying to encourage people to see things differently. I'm trying to persuade people. I'm also trying to sow doubt in government oftentimes when I post. But like, if you're trying to make a statement, I don't know if people are just venting or it feels good to put themselves up higher, like they're all smart and stuff and they're free and the other people are sheep and enslaved, but it doesn't help anyone. I just want to point out that our perception truly is reality, and that can be, that phenomenon can, we can leverage that in order to create a life that we love, or that can be leveraged through our subconscious and keep us on this path whereby we aren't examining the world objectively. Rather, we are carrying out a program, a predisposition, and whether that predisposition came from internal areas or whether it came from our parents or whether it came from our favorite media pundit, it's important for us to think outside the box. And I just want to, you know, show an example here. So a little while back, the CDC came out, and this is something I've been saying for quite some time. The CDC came out and said antibody tests show COVID rates are 10 times higher. This is just a demonstration. So you see that headline, and because someone is stuck in their view, and because they have a worldview and their perception is reality. So one group of people, the people that are all concerned with COVID and think it's the worst thing that's ever happened and we need to lock down and take people's freedom away, they say, oh my God, there's 10 times more people that have COVID. This is really bad. Same headline, different perception. Wow, 10 times more people having COVID means that the virus is less lethal, because more people have it. So when you determine the infection fatality rate, it actually is lower. Maybe it's a little bit closer to that of a seasonal flu. Not, maybe it's not 4 to 5%. Maybe it's 0.2 to 0.3%, like the CDC said also. I just want to demonstrate that it doesn't matter what news comes out, what evidence comes out. People are like, I'm follow the science, right? One camp's like, follow the science, follow the science. I get my advice from a medical doctor, not from Donald Trump or whatever. And then you have these medical doctors that come out and do a press conference and they're like, well, hydroxychloroquine, we've actually been treating people with it. And we think that this pandemic would really not be so bad if we would just use this treatment of hydroxychloroquine. But because they're already stuck in their view over here, not interested in examining new evidence objectively, they're like, oh, those guys are frauds. That's acting. Who are they bought and paid for? That's just idiotic. Also, on the other side, perhaps a study comes out that shows that there are ways that masks prevent infection or this, that, or the other. And rather than being like, oh, maybe there is some benefit, I'm not into it, I would rather be free, or I would rather get the virus so we can get it over with and have herd immunity or whatever. But instead, it's just like, no, that's total fraud, that's total BS, so on and so forth. So, and I also want to encourage people to, again, seek first to understand, then be understood. If it's like, wow, that person really is concerned about the virus, they're very adamant about people wearing masks, what is it about them? Perhaps they care for an elderly parent or an elderly grandparent, and they are very scared of catching the virus, bringing it home, giving it to the elderly grandparent that has multiple pre-existing conditions, and them dying. Okay, so maybe we ought to honor that person, not talk shit to them in the least bit, and just respect that people have a different position. Conversely, well, that guy's so selfish because he doesn't want to wear a mask. Maybe they put the mask on and they feel sick. Maybe they put the mask on in 95 degree weather. Their job has them outside a lot and they have difficulty breathing. Maybe they are concerned with their freedom. Maybe they value freedom higher than risk, right? So there's this Thomas Jefferson quote that you'd rather have dangerous liberty than peaceful servitude. There's a lot of people, myself included, that have that view where they have different values, right? We're not all the same human beings. We're all independent individuals with unique perspectives and unique views, unique risk assessments. So I wish that we could just honor that in one another. Of course, the big problem is when government comes along, it forces this top-down, one-size-fits-all view where it doesn't matter if you're willing to take a risk because you want to go on a vacation or you want to open that new storefront and you want to make sure everyone that comes is aware and everyone acts responsibly or whatever. It just forces one-size-fits-all on everyone. That's problematic. All right, I'm going to hit some comments and then I'm going to wrap up. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, for checking us out. Subscribe to the Conscious Resistance Network if you haven't already. Subscribe to my personal YouTube channel if you'd like. Check us out at livefreenow.show. For the podcast feed, livefreenow.show. If you're interested in supporting myself or Derek Bros and the Conscious Resistance Network, and get a free ounce of Kratom. It is a plant medicine that people take for stress and anxiety, pain, relaxation, energy, focus. There's different varieties, green, white, and red. You can get a free ounce. Just pay $5 shipping and handling. Go to bros.freeouncekratom.com, bros.freeouncekratom.com. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I just want to finish off by encouraging people to be objective, be compassionate, seek first to understand where other people are coming from, and then be understood. Then share your point of view. First, ask yourself why. Why are people rioting in the streets? Why are people so pissed off right now? What is going on? Or why is my family member or my friend on Facebook or whatever, why are they so concerned with COVID? What's going on with that? Maybe at the end of the day, it is because the media is manipulating or whatever, but oftentimes there's a deeper rooted human element there. And I want to encourage people to get in touch with that human element. I want to encourage you, if you think you know it all and you're just such a good researcher and you just got it all mapped out, I would encourage you that you're doing yourself a disservice. Nobody knows it all. The moment that you start to think that you know it all, you're just illustrating how ignorant you truly are. So I want to encourage people to always question everything, question what you see on TV, question what comes out of the mouths of media, but most importantly, question yourself and always be willing to change things. Back to the Buddha, they call it beginner's mind, where you approach things from a place where you haven't dabbled with it before. You are coming to it from the first time with a genuinely open mind, seeking to learn about it. So there's a really nasty game of divide and conquer being played out right now. And the worst thing that you can do is be a part of it, is exacerbate the extremes. We have an extreme left movement, very radical, the Antifa groups. There's people that are destroying property. There's people that are very pissed off and hateful. We have an extreme right element that are nationalists. There's actual fascists. There's racists. And these extremes are starting to butt heads. It's getting ugly. It's getting nasty. I want to encourage you to pull back. Don't get caught into the paradigm. All the Q folks and all, there are so many Trump people that are like, I know the deep state's doing a divide and conquer con on us, and it's just part of this communist agenda. However, at the same time, they support the use of federal Department of Homeland Security paramilitary forces being sent to local communities in order to do snatch and grabs, where unmarked law enforcement without any badge number, so it's very difficult to have redress if there's brutality, are grabbing protesters off the streets. Yes, some of them are rioters and people destroying property and criminals, but many of them are not. They're just protesters that are out past a curfew. They're taking them into unmarked vans. And people are supporting that. That leads me to believe that these people are being played as part of the very left-right divide, as part of the very divide and conquer tactic that they cry out about. That they're all conscious and aware of this play that's taken place, yet the play has got them to accept a dangerous precedent being set. And I want to remind everyone, I've been an activist since 2002. I've seen how this has all evolved. I saw the Department of Homeland Security and opposed it when it first came about. I think it was 2003 or 2005. It's like, oh, I see what they're doing here. This is some Gestapo stuff. We've seen this before. And then when Obama took office, they started putting out stuff about right-wing extremism, and the Southern Poverty Law Center put out stuff about right-wing extremism, and even labeled my ex-wife as some radical militia leader. And the Missouri Information Analysis Center at Department of Homeland Security Fusion Center put out this modern militia movement document where it said people that have Ron Paul bumper stickers or Chuck Baldwin, Bob Barr, Libertarian Party, constitutionalists, people that oppose the IRS, they could be violent radical militia members. This was the Department of Homeland Security just 10 years ago being utilized in order to target people of the right wing. People must have forgotten about that. And now, 10 years later, the Department of Homeland Security and federal paramilitary forces are being utilized against the left. And the very people that were targeted by the Department of Homeland Security previously, tracked, surveilled, marginalized, put misinformation and disinformation out, they are now applauding that. It's only a matter of time before that very institution is then in the hands of someone of the left and once again utilized against the people on the right. This time the precedent being set where it's acceptable for federal paramilitary forces to be sent to local communities to put down protests and people that are not acting as good citizens. So seek first to understand, then to be understood. Don't support federal authoritarian centralization of power ever, whether it's against the right or the left. Be good to your fellow human beings. This is John Bush signing out. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.